السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ تعالیٰ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین، والصلاۃ والسلام علی اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین سیدنا محمد وعلى آلہ وصحابہ اجمعین، اما بعد، فقد قال اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، فمن اتبع هدايا فلا يضل ولا يشقى ومن اعرض عن ذكري فان له معيشه ضنقا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اربع من السعاده: المراه الصالحه والمسكن الواسع والجار الصالح والمركب الهني، واربع من الشقاوه: الجار السوء والمرأة السوء والمسكن الضيق والمركب السوء، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected brothers and sisters, everyone is looking forward for the success, prosperity in this world, and the criteria of success is various, depend on the individual. But what is the real success? What is the criteria of real and true success and comfort? Is the guidance in the Holy Quran and the practical way of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this verse of Surah At-Taha, verse number 123, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down the criteria of success. Allah ta'ala says that فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يُذِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْقًا. Whosoever follows my guidance, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shall neither go astray nor shall be distressed. And the whole Quran is guidance, hudal lil muttaqin, hudal lin nas. So how to live our lives, it is already distained in the Holy Quran. And second part is the Mubarak Sunnah of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, man amila salihan min dhakarin aw unsa wa huwa mu'minun falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyiba wa lanajziyannahum ajrahum bi ahsani ma kanu ya'malun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever does good actions in amal, regardless whether is a male or female, and he is a believer or she is a believer, that is the first condition. Without iman, no amal is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then if he has the proper iman, a true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and on the day of judgment, and with that true iman he does good actions, good deeds, then what is the promise of Almighty Allah? فَلَنُحْيَيَنَّهُ حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا. That definitely, most certainly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَنُحْيَيَنَّهُ, we will definitely, certainly, will grant him a better life, حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا, peaceful life, comfortable life. This is for this dunya. The whole life, he will not face any anxiety, any worry, any concern. His life will not be miserable. And after the death, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And in hereafter, definitely, we will grant him a better reward, whatever they used to do during their lifetimes. So in this verse, the whole, you know, plan of the whole entire life of the true believer has been mentioned. You just have to follow the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way shown by our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody is looking for success, everybody is making an effort for success, to become success, and everyone is sacrificing and trying, spending his money and time and effort to achieve the success. But our mindset should be not dunya, rather it should be hereafter. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this life to prepare for hereafter. We are not fit for this dunya. But unfortunately, blindly, we just follow our desires, our lusts from day and day, from morning till evening, thus accumulating and, you know, amassing the wealth and luxury of this house, you know, this world. To our target, our task, our goal is to be successful in regard to this dunya, unfortunately. That I must have a massive house, I must have a very flashy car, latest model, I should have nice, you know, iPad and cell phone, I must have a fashionable clothing, I must have this and I must have that. So our aim, our object, most of us, 99%, is towards dunya. I must get this, I must get that. And in that process, we are making tremendous effort to achieve that goal. But meanwhile, we are forgetting our real object of this dunya. Allah's beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, over and over again, so many ahadith, and I repeat all the time, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us that remember, ad-dunya khuliqat lakum, this whole world has been created for you. Sun is rising, moon is coming out, stars, rains, leaves, fruits, vegetation, animals, birds, everyone is in your service. But you are created for hereafter. Wantum khuliqtum lil akhirah. For every day when we get up from the morning, from the bed, our mind should think about success in hereafter. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, has granted me this new day, the new life, extended my life. Now how I should make a plan from the morning till the evening to achieve that goal, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through my actions and follow the Mubarak tariq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is a role model for the entire mankind. Laqad kana lakum fi Rasulillahi uswatun hasana. How the morning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be. What he used to do first when he used to wake up from the bed. What is the sunnah of beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to start the day? How he used to start the day? Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma matana wa ilayhi nushur. Are we reading that dua? You know, this dua, in the first thing when we wake up and when we open our eyes, is reminding us for hereafter. Very first thing in the early morning. Our mind should be diverted towards akhirah. Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has granted me life after death. I was dead whole night. I didn't know what happened. But Allah has extended my life, blew the soul again, my soul returned back in my body, and I am awake. Now what should I do? I must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this extended life and take the advantage of this extended time period. I don't know, maybe I will see the afternoon or I will see the sunset. I may die before that. There is no guarantee. But whatever period, whatever time I have in my life, let me obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And first command, as we open our eyes, to come to the masjid, perform Fajr Salah. If you do that, it means our mindset, our plan is going according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing, obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most important thing is to pray Fajr Salah with congregation, not alone at home. It is wajib according to some aima to perform the salat with the jamaat, is congregational. So are we doing that? Or we are missing that point? We are waking up to make a plan, take shower and go on the road to go to our offices and our job places, worried and concerned I should not be late. So our mindset is not going according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that there are four things, and that four things on daily basis we are going through in circle. Arba'un min as-sa'ada. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there are four things which is the fortune of the believer. If he get that fortune, he is successful. His life is full of blessings. What is the number one? Al-mar'atu salihah. The pious, righteous spouse. In this regard, al-mar'atu salihah, specifically our wives. That is the first sa'ada in this life. Because half of the life we are spending with our spouse, with our wives. That is why it is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made compulsory to perform the nikah. And performing the nikah, it is half of the iman. An nikahu nisful iman. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and then that's why he emphasized, an nikahu min sunnati. That this nikah to get married is my tradition. And those who deny and reject my tradition, he is not amongst me, he is not my follower. That warning, the staunch warning, is emphasizing with regard to performing the nikah is so, so important. And nikahu min sunnati, faman raghiba an sunnati, falaysa minni. Period. Rasulullah SAW declared, no matter he performs salat whole life, he go hajj and umrah every year, he pays zakat every year, fast every year, but in my category, according to my definition, he is not my follower. He is not my follower. He is missing the point. He is not performing the nikah according to my tradition. That's how important it is. And then Rasulullah SAW said in one of the hadith that ad-dunya kullu mata, ad-dunya kullu mata, the whole world is commodity, is the thing to utilize. Wa khayru mata'i ad-dunya al-mar'atu saliha, and best commodity of this whole world is not luxurious house, is not flashy car, is not fashionable clothing, is not great position, is not your status, it is not your wealth, it is not your health, how bodybuilder you are, how strong you are, nothing. All these are negative. خَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا أَلْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةِ. That a person who gets the spouse, the wife, who is the pious, God-fearing, righteous. If he achieved that goal, if he got married to the pious woman, first sa'ada he got, first success he got in according to this hadith. A sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayyun nisa'i khayrun? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst all the ladies, amongst all the females, all the women, which woman is the best one? Because when we go to the any store, we want to buy the best item, best cell phone, best car, best clothing, everything we like and we love to have best. That is our choice, right? So Sahabi asked, which woman is the best woman? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allati tasurruhu idha nazar. That woman that whenever her husband looks at to her, she pleases her, him. Whenever a husband looking at to the wife, he always giving him a comfort, enjoyment, happiness. Look at my wife, how much obedient she is, how beautiful she is, this and that. So number one criteria or number one sifat, attribute, quality of the best woman is allati tasurruhu idha nazar. Whenever the husband looking at wife, that looking, that is pleasing his heart, pleasing his eyes. The second thing, وَتُطِيعُهُ إِذَا أَمَرَ. The good quality of the best woman is that whenever the husband is asking for anything, she obeys immediately. She does not refuse, she does not argue, she does not quarrel, she does not fight. She does not use vulgar language. Why like this? Why are you asking me? Why is this? I'm not going to do it. Right? So, وَتُطِيعُهُ إِذَا أَمَرَ. This is the second quality of the best wife. That whenever husband is asking or demanding for anything, she completely obey to the husband. وَلَا تُخَالِفُهُ فِي نَفْسِهَا وَمَا لِهَا بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. And she does not disobey or do oppose to anything with regard to herself and the wealth. Bima yakaru, which the husband doesn't like. She not doing anything opposing the husband or dislike to the husband. Everything she does, whatever is doing to be the pleasant for the husband. Now my brothers and sisters, again we have to look at to the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed so many marriages, 9 to 11. That is to show the example, the practical example, how to deal with our spouses, with our wives. You know, the problem is when we get married, we have no training, we have no classes, what is the marital life is. Even youngster, when he go to, you know, to get the driving license, for example, he has to study the manual, the book, the rules and regulations of the traffic, right? And have to take the class in the traffic school, spend money, 1 month or 6 weeks, whatever time period. Practically, he has to behind a wheel with the expert, inspector or expert, who is teaching how to drive on the road and how to do the parallel, you know, stopping and parking, everything, right? He's teaching, he's reading the manual, plus practically he's taking the class, and then only he has to pass the test. And if he write all the questions correctly, the answer of the question correctly, then and then only the DMV is going to issue the driving license. Now you are able to drive on the road, right? It is so simple. But when we get married, our youngster, boy or girl, they don't care. It is just like somebody started dating and the parents are forced to get married, and she doesn't know what is the rights of the husband and he doesn't know what is the right of the wife. They just get married out of emotion, out of love and desire, no education, no class, no do's and don'ts whatsoever. And that's how they get married. No, you know, any guidance in front of them. Now, after a few days, they start quarreling, fighting, arguing, and end with the divorce. Because they have no lesson, they have no classes, they have no experience. No one taught them what is the rights of the husbands and wife. We don't care about it. Yes, once we fix the date, we are more worried about how to do the wedding, how many people we should invite, 400, 500, what the menus will be, what the catering will be, which hall we should book, which kind of clothing for the mehndi and for this and that. We are more worried and concerned about that outward, you know, things, than teaching the boy and girl that this is the new life, new chapter of your life is going to begin. Do you know what is the rights of your wife? She does know what is the right of the husband. No, no one teaches. Blind, they are blind. And that's how they go wrong, because there is no experience, there is no guidance whatsoever. So, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from the beginning taught us how to select our spouse, because this is the lifetime. It's not the joke, it's not the play. It's a serious matter. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given the guideline. تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعِ لِمَالِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِحَسْبِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَصْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ تِدَاكُ وَكَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. There are four categories where a husband is looking to get married to any woman. Number one, wealthy. Wealth have a big attraction. If I get married to the wealthy family, in-laws are wealthy, I'll get free house, I'll get free cars, I'll get free job, I'll get this and I get big dowry and this and that. So mindset is wealth. I must get married to a rich woman so I can have and enjoy the wealth from the in-laws. So the first thing is wrong. The base is the wrong. Foundation is the wrong. Regardless, she is obedient or not, she is doing parda or not, she is, you know, following the Sharia or not? No. As long as she is rich and in-law is wealthy, I'm okay. I don't care. Right? So deen is not there. Sharia is not there. Only wealth. The wealth is not going to grant you success. Second category most of us falls in is the beauty. We all like to have the beautiful wife. Regardless how ugly we are, how black complex we are. But our wife should be beauty queen. Right? The beauty doesn't last long. After a few years, she's going to get her one child, two child, three, and her body is going to be dismantled. Then what? She doesn't have deen, she doesn't have sharia, she's not following. She just only have beauty. Then ends up with the fighting and quarreling and divorce. And the third category, we get married to have the name and fame, Hasab and Nasab. She is very well known. Her parents are very well known. He's a big businessman. The father-in-law has status. He's the MLA. He's this and that in the society. So if I get married to his daughter, automatically I will gain the fame and name. People will recognize me. Oh, his son-in-law of so-and-so. So-and-so. Hasab and Nasab. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is also not good. His Hasab and Nasab, his lineage or his fame is not going to help you in your marital life. You're going to have the conflict. You don't have the same kind of mindsets. And she is going to, you know, pressure you because my father is so well known. Look at you. What are you doing? She's going to be bossy all the time. With the same name and fame, she's going to oppress the husband. Because the husband is unknown. And father-in-law is very well known. So it's going to be practically, logically, you know, conflict. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't look at to the wealth. Don't look at to the beauty. Don't look at to the lineage. And hasab and nasab, look at to the deen. If your spouse, if your wife is deendar, if she is righteous, if she is God-fearing, regardless she is not looking so beautiful, regardless she is poor, regardless she doesn't have any name and fame, but if she has the deen and sharia, love of Allah and love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that partner will be very good for you. She will stay with you in thin and thick, in every condition, in every situation, in every circumstance, she will be your supporter. Like Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was very rich and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not wealthy. Look at how she supported, right? Throughout the life until she died. In every situation, she was behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, moral support. So these are the examples, my brothers and sisters, we all have to follow. Time is very short, I'm just going to go through. I could only cover one point, and that is not completely. But second thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned is al-maskanul wasi'. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we are going to live in this dunya, nothing wrong to have a big house, a spacious house. Every child have his own room, privacy. We have the study room. We have this. Nothing wrong with that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua. And he taught this dua to all the ummah till the day of Qiyamah. And this is the dua our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always used to make. What is the dua? Allahumma qfili dhambi wa wassi'li fi dari wa barikli fi rizqi. Oh Allah, forgive my sins and grant me a spacious house, big house. Wa wassi'li fi dari wa barikli fi rizqi. And it's increase my sustenance. And that dua, my brothers and sisters, was for the ummah, not for himself. Because Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha said, my apartment, my quarter was 10 by 5. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to, stand up for tahajjud salat, his head used to touch the roof. And I used to sleep there, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to remove my leg to make sajda properly. It was not enough space in the house. That small house, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent his entire life. Right? But he made dua for the ummah. That if you have big house, nothing wrong with that, as long as you are following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing, my brothers, a good neighbor. If you're buying, your house in very luxurious neighborhood, but your neighbor is redneck, he's drunk, he's putting the music loud every day, he's quarreling with you, his kids are messing with your car. That beautiful house, five bedroom, you spend thousands of dollars, you're not going to enjoy. Because your neighbor is not good. You always have a problem with your neighbors. So, to have the good neighbor is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have the good neighbor is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we have to make the dua to have our neighbors a good neighbor. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala was a very famous saint and scholar of Islam in Baghdad. His neighbor was Jewish, not even Muslim, Jewish. When the Jewish wanted to sell his house, for example, in the Baghdad city, the price of the house at the time, say for 1,000 dirham. He put up the signboard that I'm going to sell my house for 2,000 dirhams, double the price of the market price. So people ask, what's the reason, man? Everywhere the house is available for $1,000 dirham and you put the double amount. He said, yeah, I know. My house is worth 1,000 dirham. But my neighbor, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, you won't find any neighbor like him in the whole Baghdad. So I'm, charging extra 1,000 for the neighborhood. You won't find neighbor like Abdullah ibn Mubarak. That's why I'm charging extra. So it shows, my brothers, that if you have the good neighbor, then we are very lucky, very sa'ada. This is the sa'ada for us. And the fourth one is that we have the rights, which Rasulullah used to make dua, that we should have the right in the proper, it doesn't give any trouble, or it doesn't break down every time, or have the problem with his, compressor or this or that. If you have nice car, nothing wrong with that. We make dua. So if we have these four things in our life, we are successful. The righteous woman, wife, a big house, a good neighbor, and the